Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Have money and they are disgraced at the end of the day. So within that promotion is always a man of God. Yes. Yes. You believe God, you are established. 2 Chronicles 20:20, isn't it? But it takes his prophet to prosper. Believe the prophet and you will prosper. Amen. And why the prophet? Because the prophet carries the word of God. A real prophet. A good real prophet. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor. The pastor is talking about a real prophet. Not the one by one prophet that you see by the wayside. Yes. The ones that say things to you and take money from you and cheat you. The ones that see only evil things coming around you. Every gray-haired person is a witch or a wizard. Now I'm talking about a real prophet. And the major part, one of the major parts of a real prophet is that they teach the doctrines of God. Hallelujah. So, the prophet carries the word of God. And the reason why the word of God is so key to your prosperity, to your greatness. Ask your neighbor, neighbor. I like you to interact so you don't sleep on me. Say, neighbor. Do you know? And I can and I be, you're most welcome. Wow, and you too. God bless. Glad to see you. Now I lost my train of thinking. Amen. That's a side effect of not preaching with notes. So what was I saying before then? Yeah, the major key to your doing well is the word. Is the word of God. The word that comes through the teaching. And brings wisdom to you. Yeah. It's very important. The ultimate goal of the word of God daily in your life is to bring wisdom. Because as you hear the word and you understand it daily, you understand it, you keep understanding it, it brings it, as you see, the word brings knowledge. And as you keep understanding it, it takes you to the point where now you begin to act it. You live in it. Your life is what the word says. And that is wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. You see, that is why it is not necessarily everyone who goes to school and has a lot of degrees. PhD. What are some of the degrees? PhD is like the high one, isn't it? Yeah. All kinds of degrees by your name. I mean, when we mention your name, we have to end it with 3, 4, 5, 6 degrees. You've been to every school and you are still schooling. It does not necessarily bring wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. You can have it. You can have knowledge and not apply it. You can have knowledge and you will not be wise. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, wisdom is very, very important. Recently, Archbishop Duncan Williams, who is also a father, a good, great father to our bishop, that prophet, Bishop Dag Hayward Mills, I call him prophet. He celebrated his birthday, I told you last week, his 60th birthday and 40 years in ministry. And I watched a little clip, he was being interviewed. And one of the questions they asked him was, in terms of how disadvantaged he was with not going to school much. Because he never really went to school. But when he's preaching, he will tell you that he hardly has classmates. Yeah. He hardly has classmates. There are not so many people that he sat in class with. Yet he's a very, very great person. In fact, he's a father of the charismatic movement in Ghana, West Africa, where I come from. Yeah. I knew him when I was like maybe 12, 13 years old. Years ago. In fact, I went to his house, knocked on his door, and I had an uncle who was dying. I said, Brother Nick, we used to call him Brother Nick. Brother Nick, can you come and pray for my uncle? And his own. He said, why can't you also pray? Then he prayed for me. He said, go and pray for him. Yeah, I was like 13, 14 there about, many years ago. You see, he's a great man. So he made this comment. He said, it's no disadvantage to him that he didn't go to school in terms of going to, you know, university and all that. Because he's great. If you counted those who inaugurate, I don't care what you think about President Trump. You see, if you're a Christian, align yourself. Do you understand? Don't be a politician. Whoever is there, pray for them. The Bible makes it clear that whoever is in authority is of God. I get sick in my stomach when I see people playing all kinds of Christians. Your WhatsApp and your Facebook is full of jokes about President Trump. That is not a calling. Let me take a little side here. Recently, I went to a barber shop. I was sitting down waiting to cut my... You know, barber shop, they talk a lot. And as I was sitting there, this elderly man started talking against... In fact, when he walked in, the first thing was a joke against President Trump. And he kept going on and on and on and on and saying all sorts of things. At the point, I couldn't take it in. I said, please. Because when he says, then he mix it with scriptures later on and say, the Lord is with us. And so I just turned to him sadly because I couldn't bear him. I said, why don't you do what the Lord says we should do? Yeah, I asked him, why don't you do what the Lord says we should? And I didn't say anything anymore. The Lord commands us to pray. First of all, if you believe in the Bible states it clearly that there is no authority. There is no authority except that which God has placed. Yes, there is no... Do you believe your Bible? There is no authority except that which God has placed. So even if you didn't like the person, now the person is in authority. You need to relate to the person and do what the Bible says we should do for people in leadership. Pray for them. Yeah, when you wake up, instead of criticizing him, kneel down and say, Lord, today give President Trump wisdom. Give him great wisdom. So that when he tweets, you know, he would tweet sensible things. Instead of you criticizing why he tweets. I've said it, you know. Thank you, the person has said it, he said it. Yeah. So wisdom is very, very, very important. And Bishop Duncan, Archbishop Duncan Williams said this. He said that he doesn't feel this disadvantage because he's in a great place now. And there are people who went to school 100 times more than him, and he's greater than them. I mentioned President Trump because during the inauguration, Archbishop Duncan Williams, a black man from Ghana, West Africa, was one of the ministers standing up front during the inauguration, said, praying for President Trump from Ghana. How did he get there? Great man. Acknowledged by even the ministry of Jesus, present day ministry of Jesus Christ in America. Yeah, without schooling. So he made this statement. He said, you see, what counts is the end of the matter. What you need is wisdom. How you got the wisdom is irrelevant. You see, and I see that's how God works in a certain way. In a lot of times, he would sometimes give things to people directly, or then you work through the path, the regular path of getting it. That is why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, isn't it? You have to work up faith and hear the word. But sometimes he can just boom, give you gift of faith. You believe it's done. That's how he works. So he's endowed him with wisdom. Let me show you a scripture. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Are you understanding my simple message? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. Do you have it? It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. What does principal mean? The main. The main thing. A lot of us, when we are eating carbohydrates, the main thing. Isn't it? Carbohydrate is the main. It means that is what actually brings life to the thing. It is the main thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Not money. Not money. Not money. Not money. Money is not the main thing. Wisdom is is the main thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, wisdom is the main thing. So he says, therefore, get wisdom. If it is the main thing, get it. If it is the main thing, get it. Then he says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Because understanding is part of the pathway to wisdom. Then verse 8 says, exalt her. Lift her up. Let her be the main thing. Let wisdom be the main thing. I like even how they use the feminine description to it. Wisdom, her, she. Because she's productive. Like a woman. She will bring forth children into your life. So he says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. That is how you become great. So Psalm 71 verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness. Thou shalt increase. This is your year of greatness. This is the pathway of greatness. The pathway of greatness is through wisdom. Exalt wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Yeah. Many years ago, I heard Mike Murdoch. Actually, I heard one great, other great man of God talking about Mike Murdoch in a certain way, in a certain sense, which I didn't like. And he said that Mike Murdoch preaches wisdom. And Mike Murdoch says that everything, or the solution to everything, is wisdom. Then he said, you come to Africa. And come and tell the demons in Africa that is wisdom. But the truth is that when you understand wisdom, it gets you everything. It gets you everything. It gets you everything. It gets you everything. That is why even amongst the revelational gifts, many great men of God even acknowledge that the word of wisdom is the highest gift. To be able to have the wisdom of God. It brings solutions. So he says, just exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to thee. Wow. That is wisdom. Don't play with wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Why? Because it is the principal thing. Wisdom will make a husband wiser. Wisdom will make a wife wiser. Wisdom will bring more success into a family. Wisdom will promote you in whatever you are doing. Yeah. I tell you, even through wisdom, you will do well at where you are. You will not be fighting your boss. You will not be, you know, not just always against what your boss says. Even if you don't like it, you will know through wisdom that you ought to just flow. Somebody say hallelujah. So let's go back to what we started. We started talking about the secret, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we've had other programs that made us put a pause to it. So what is the secret? The secret is that, you see, when you listen to or watch or interact with great men of God, you will realize that one of the major keys to their success, or the main thing to their success, is the word of God. Yeah. When you watch Bishop Doug, you will see that it's the word. That is why he prefers to have camps. But this is really pastor. It's always, my wife is always telling me, have camps. Because that affords you prolonged interaction with the word of God. Days and hours of just sitting and hearing the word of God, which has the effect of producing wisdom, which is able to promote you. So Bishop will tell you a lot of times that he prays for people, they fall, and they fall as far as their length, isn't it? When somebody falls, they never fall beyond their leg. Their head goes down there, and that they are not beyond their head level. Isn't it? Yeah. But when he teaches you the word, what happens is that it promotes you and takes you far. It is through the preaching of the word that we now have missionaries all over. People can move from UK all the way to Kenya or some other place and have churches. It's a word. Amen. So it is the principal thing, and that is the secret. That's the secret. When you listen to Bishop Hyde, Bishop Hyde is always talking about the word. The word. The word. You see, but because you can't see it, you get bored when the word is being preached. Yeah. Even as I'm preaching, I'm even looking at your time. When is he going to finish? Meanwhile, this is the only word you will hear the whole week. You won't read your Bible. You won't listen to tapes. You won't read books. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And then when we come to church, yeah, this is our year of greatness. Hallelujah. This is my year, Lord. This is my year of greatness. I shall be great. You're lying. Yeah. Yeah. This year may pass and you will realize that, like many other things that have been said to you on 31st December, it has passed and you have not changed. Get engaged with the word. Get engaged with the word. Get engaged with the word. Love the word. Fall in love with the word. Hunger after the word. Love it. Embrace it. Let it be your best friend. Yeah. Some of your best friends are Oprah Winfrey and the like. Yeah. You quote, what's his name again? Dr. Phil. Is he still around? Yeah. What Dr. Phil says is a final say. Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Phil said we should do this. Dr. Phil said we should do this. Dr. Phil said we should do this. Dr. Phil said, you keep following Dr. Phil and you see how your life will become so corrupt and bankrupt. And any other robbed. If there are any more words like that. Yeah. That is what is going to happen. Don't neglect the word. Don't neglect the word. Don't neglect the word. So I'm talking to you this morning about the secret. The secret. I'm not talking to you about a secret. I'm talking about you, to you about the secret. You see, when you say the something, you are describing something that has no substitute. Nana K is the husband, the husband of Nana B. Is the husband. The husband. Specific. Not a husband of Nana B. The husband. The. So when you use the word the, and I'm telling you about the secret, there's no other secret. There is no other secret. This is the bottom line secret of all greatness of every man of God that you can mention. You want to do well in this life? The secret is this. And the secret is being in a place alone with God on a daily basis, interacting with His word. You don't believe it. The simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is so simple that it is often overruled because human beings like complex things. If I told you now that the secret is wake up in the morning, dip your head in cold water 3 times, shake your head, then pour some sand on your head, and then wash quickly, and then put a bowl of powder on your head, and look white, and do the... You see, that people are like that. Especially us, isn't it? Mysterious things. Things that you cannot easily follow. But when you come to the simplicity, that's why the Bible talks of, you know, we being careful lest Satan beguile us through the simplicity of the gospel. Because it's so simple. Simple. Secret. The secret is this. That spend time daily. Not on a weekly basis. Not on an every other day basis. Not on a, on every Wednesday basis. But a daily basis with God. The secret. Spend time daily with God. Interacting with Him in every form or shape. Spend time with Him. Him and His Word. I mean, I don't know any other way of waiting on God and having a time with Him than reading His Word, He talking to you, and then you praying, you talking to Him, and at certain moments, keeping quiet and letting Him also talk to you through His Spirit. And He will talk to you. That's the secret. It's too simple. Now, what are the benefits of this secret? What are the benefits of this secret? What are the benefits of the secret when you spend daily quality time with God? Are you hearing? Number one, a daily quiet time or a daily spending of time in the secret breaks down evil strongholds. Listen carefully. A daily quiet time breaks down strong evil or evil strongholds. It breaks down evil strongholds. It breaks down evil strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, a lot of us have strongholds. Sometimes your strongholds are even the way you think, the way you do things. You see, this is something powerful from God's word, aligning you for greatness. Embrace it and engage it. And when you have a daily quiet time, what that does to you is that it breaks strongholds, evil strongholds. If you've ever been to the military, I haven't, but they have strongholds, stronghold rooms, isn't it? Who has been in the military? We're in the Marines or something. Anybody? Even if you are, you won't say it, right? Because you don't want to talk in church. But they are strongholds, and these strongholds are places that the sophisticated weapons are held under lock and key. And there are certain strongholds in our lives that Satan is guarding with keys, strong keys, fenced, heavily gated, that you cannot easily come out of. Now, what I'm saying to you, and I'll give you a scripture for it shortly, is that when you spend time daily with God, and God speaks to you through His word, as you stay in that presence day after day, what you are doing is that you are breaking down this evil stronghold. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Jeremiah 23 and 29. Do you have it? It says, "Is not my word like as a fire? Is not my word like as a fire?" God's word is fire. I said God's word is fire. And then he goes and says, "And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." His word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Lift up your hand into the heavens and say, thy word, O Lord, is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Wow. His word breaks rocks into pieces. Do you believe his word? This is God speaking. He says, my word, his word, it breaks rocks into pieces. Rocks are like strongholds. Rocks are like strongholds. They are things that are hard, that do not easily move. They don't go away easily. You've kicked against it many times. You've asked other people to help you kick against it, but it seemed not to be moving. It is a rock. And he says, my word is like a hammer. Listen to me. Listen to this wisdom. Rocks do not break by one bone. That is why your problem will not go away by only Sunday sermons. Your problem will not go away only by Wednesday sermons. Your problem will not go away by any other just once a week. Even antibiotics, you take it 3 times a day, 4 times a day, every 6 hours, every 4 hours. Sometimes we'll put you in a hospital and be giving you IV antibiotics. Every 2 hours we'll be giving you antibiotic shot. Your problem is not a one-time shot. Especially the way it came. The way it came. They said, we had a convention in Delaware. And I said, let me speak to you honestly. A lot of people come to church. You see, your life is accumulation of things that you've done in the past. Yeah. And give God the room to work on you. And be patient. Rocks don't just break like that. Rocks break with a repetitive action of hammering. Especially the harder the rock. Huh? How many of you understand the harder the rock? The harder the rock, the more energy and the more frequency. But there is something also called the last straw. Somebody say the last straw. Somebody say the last straw. There's the last straw that breaks the camel's back. I remember when we were kids, we used to play with cubes, you know, these wooden cubes, and then you keep adding. And then you keep adding. The idea is to keep going up to see how high you can build a thing. But then there's a point when you add the next cube, the whole thing just comes crumbling down. That shall be your story. I said, that shall be your story. Don't give up hammering. Don't give up hammering. Don't give up hammering. Don't give up. If I lift up your hand like a hammer, say, I'm going to keep hammering. Say, I'm going to keep hitting. Say, I'm going to keep hitting. Say, I'm going to keep hitting. Say, I am going to keep hitting the rock. Yes. That is why you must have a daily encounter with the hammer. A daily encounter with the hammer. A daily encounter with the hammer. In fact, sometimes when you chip off a rock, you see, all you've done is you've just exposed a bit of the inside of the rock. You see, but you leave it. You realize that by the time you come back, maybe 2 weeks later to pick up your hammering, the thing has gone chemical reactions and they are even probably even stronger. And that side has been sealed in a way. Yeah. It's a daily thing. You must hit it. If you want it to break, you must hit it and hit it hard. Are you understanding? So that is why you must come before the Lord every day and say, Lord, please hit the thing. Hit the things, the strongholds in my life. Hit it in the stone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Your thing will not just change by this one preaching that you are so happy, you are looking at me, you are happy, and oh, what a word, it's nice, I'm enjoying this word. No. You got to go home and hear it again. You got to go home and even sometimes listen to what has been preached. That's why we say podcasts. This month is a month of podcasts. You're supposed to have listened to many messages in the house by a bishop. But most of you haven't. Wow. I said, wow. I said, wow. Wow. Let me add one more. Number two. A daily quiet time leads to the cutting away of unwanted aspects of our lives and character. A daily quiet time, it cuts off unwanted parts of our lives pertaining to our character. Cutting away of unwanted aspects of our lives and character. Yeah. Listen, when you are in church, it doesn't mean you are perfect. We are all not perfect. I was just watching a little clip by a bishop. He was preaching the first lovers. First lovers are the young people. College people, 20s, early 20s. And as he was preaching, I said, I know a lot of you do pornography. But he was still preaching to them. Yeah. Yeah. A while ago, somebody told me that, you know, your church members, and a lot of them do bad things. Yeah. That's why I'm a pastor. I need to keep preaching. I need to keep preaching. I need to keep preaching. If all of us were perfect, we have it made. We won't have to cry for you to come for outreach. We won't have to cry for you to come for evangelism. We don't have to cry for you to come for prayer meetings. We won't, but we've not made it yet. But God is still working on us. And it's hammering. As you expose your life to the word of God, it cuts off, it prunes, and it eliminates unwanted aspects of your life and your character. We don't need character polishing. Is it not true? Yeah. Let me give you a verse. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. Quick. It's alive. It's not dead. God's word is alive. And powerful. It's alive. And it is also powerful. God's word is powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the teachings of Christ. For it is the power of God. It is the power of God. He sent his word and healed and delivered. That's why God can just send a word and you are healed. He can send a word and you are delivered. It's powerful. It's quick. It's alive. It is powerful. It is powerful. It is powerful. It is powerful. God's word is powerful. Don't underestimate. It is very powerful. And then it's also sharp. Not only is it sharp, but it is sharper than any two-edged sword in the world. It cuts every direction. It can move laterally and it's cutting to the left. Then it can just change direction and move laterally to the left, it's cutting. And then it can just change as I'm going up, it's cutting. It's coming down, it's cutting. Cutting. That is why sometimes in church you feel pain. Blessed are you when you feel pain in church. Blessed are you when you feel pain in church. Embrace it. Say, Lord, it hurts. But you receive it. I receive it. Because what his word is doing is that pew, 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 pew. It's just cutting like a ninja. Cutting. Chopping off things. And things need to be chopped off. In medicine, sometimes body parts are cut off. Sometimes body parts of people with diabetes are cut off. They will cut off your toe because it needs to be cut off. Because if it is not cut off, it's going to poison the rest of the body. Things need to be cut off by this word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Why do you take my verse away? Please bring it back. Then it says, piercing. Whoa. Whoa. not only cutting, but it also pierces, it penetrates, it can go deep. Piercing, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Of soul and spirit. So for those people who believe that your soul and your spirit are the same, this is a word that proves that they are not the same. Because it's able to divide. Your soul has to do with your emotions and your intellect and all that. It's quite different from your spirit. And the word of God is able to pierce and divide. It's able to tell you that, no, this is soulish. This is of your emotions. This is something that you need to stop. How many of you have experienced that before? Yeah, I have. Hey, Gilbert, stop that rough there. This is not spiritual. Yeah. Anytime the word of God is hitting you and telling you that this is not spiritual. You see, there are many things that are not spiritual. It will not help your spirituality. The word of God is able to divide and pierce asunder. That is a voice that comes in when you are drinking beer. Yeah, that's a voice. Don't neglect it. What a shock. Yeah. Christians should not be drinking. Oh, Pastor, I don't get drunk. Please. Do you know what God calls drunk? Do you know the alcoholic level that God calls drunk? Even across states, the alcoholic level from state A that is considered by the police department to qualify for drunkenness is different from other states. Google it and see. Even states are fighting on their definition of drunkenness. And maybe you also don't know of the word that says that all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. There are some things like that are not profitable. Many times I go out with my senior management, my chief executive and all that, and they will always sometimes they say, drink. I'm not drinking. Oh, taste. I'm not tasting. You want me to taste, then I taste, then I taste again, then I taste again, then I taste again, then I taste, I taste, then I taste. No, I'm not tasting. There may be no scripture against it directly, thou shalt not taste, but it's lawful, but it's not profitable. So I'm not tasting. Some of you tasted, now you see where the tasting has come. Ask your neighbor that, did you taste and it's brought you to where you are? Ask your neighbor. So you keep coming, I'll keep preaching to you and you stop tasting. Oh, I know there are tasters in the church. Please, I wasn't born yesterday. I know. In fact, I know even some people that they don't know that I know that they drink. I know. When you're a pastor, you must have a big heart and just keep preaching. Because I also know where I've come from. Yeah, I know where I have come from. God is still working on me. I'm not a perfect person. Don't think too far. I've not done bad things like you are thinking bad. Wow. It's good for now. We'll continue next week. Wow. How many of you are interested to hear more about the secret? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What a word. God's word is sweet. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's not the person who is trying to necessarily say it to you. Anybody who spends time with it will get the same effect. Yeah. I'm just preaching from a book called The Secret, written by a bishop. Yeah, that's all I'm preaching. And I'm preaching it to you as I have been blessed with. You'll be surprised when you read it and spend time with it, you'll be blessed in such a way that you'll be able to even share it even better than I'm sharing it. Truth. Yeah. Sometimes you think pastors are heroes. I'm not a hero. I'm far from a hero. Yeah. It's all the work of God. It is the work and the doing of God. Amen. Bow down your heads, everyone here. Bow down your heads, everyone here. Bow down your heads. Bow down your heads. Bow down your heads. Every eye closed. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. Just slip up your hand gently and I'll pray for you. Anyone here? And say, Pastor, pray for me. I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anyone here? Anyone here? All right. Number two, if you are here today and maybe you gave your life to Christ a while ago, it's been a while, but you know in your heart that you are not where you ought to be. You are not walking with Him as you ought to. Just raise up that hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will restore you and bring you to the place that you need or you ought to be. Anybody like that here? Raise up that hand. You want to say, Pastor, help me. Help me. Don't come to me after church necessarily. Do it now. Whilst grace abounds. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Anybody? I say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. If you are sick in any part of your body, put your hand wherever you are sick at. If it's a place you can't put your hand on your heart. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, that healing is our bread. You said it is a children's bread. We are your children. We are your children. Therefore, this morning as we come to you, we claim that which is ours. By your stripes, we were healed. And if we were healed, we are healed now. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. May you be made whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. May everything that is wrong in your body that has been diagnosed and yet to be diagnosed be corrected now in Jesus' name. We curse the roots of cancer cells. We curse the root of cancer cells. Wither and die, thou cells of cancer, right now, wherever you are, in the womb, in the breast, in the prostate gland, in the blood, wherever you are, be cursed in the name of Jesus Christ. Bible says that wherefore God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow. So you are bound to that name. In the name of Jesus, I demand you, I demand of you to leave the bodies right now. Thank you, Lord. Shower your blessings upon your people. Let there, oh God, be goodness and mercies throughout this week. Protection as we go in and out. Let there be no bad stories. Let there be testimonies of your deliverances and your mercies. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you paying your tithes, please come up quickly.